I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
the Creator of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived of the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died,
and was buried.
The third day He rose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence He shall come to judge
the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and life everlasting.
Amen.
Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 24. Jesus is sharing some of the last words with His disciples before He ascended into heaven. Beginning with verse 44, He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. If you're on the website, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a prayer request or a praise report. If you're with us on Facebook, say hello to other friends in the chat. Let us know that you are here. And of course, you can follow along with my outline on the website or the church app. Today, I'm continuing my series titled, I Believe, based on the Apostles' Creed, that statement of faith that developed from the earliest beginnings of the church. We have said that it's important for us to know how to articulate the core foundations of our faith. And the Apostles' Creed helps us do that, helps us to remember the core beliefs of our Christian faith. I hope each week as we share it after the message together, you are reminded of the meaning and the significance of each of the phrases. Today we're going to consider another very significant phrase, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Write forgiveness in the chat. At the heart of the Christian gospel is the promise of the forgiveness of sins. Now, there are some today who might say that we don't need forgiveness of sins, that forgiveness of sins is an outdated concept, that we need to replace it with some new thinking that doesn't include sin. But to do that would be to step outside of the framework of the Scripture and the Christian faith and the life and ministry of Jesus. We don't want to do that. In fact, as the world continues to quake with all of the events happening these days, I find that it is most helpful for me to stick close to Jesus, to press that much closer into my relationship with Him and the truths and the worldview for understanding that I find in Jesus and in the good news of the gospel. So today we're going to explore this phrase, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And I'd like to start with a question. When did you first become aware of your need for forgiveness of sins? Was there a time or a season of your life you remember? I remember growing up as a young boy with six brothers and sisters and the fairly frequent occurrence of me doing something to upset or to irritate my little brothers or sisters. Often it landed me kneeling in the corner. That was my mother's form of time out when I was growing up. You go and kneel in the corner and you think for a while about what you did and what you need to do differently next time. Those were deep times of reflection as I was kneeling. Often I was thinking, dang it, I'm sorry I got caught. Well, I became aware pretty early in my life that I had this tendency to pick on my brothers or sisters or to act indifferently to the instructions of my mother. Not my father. You didn't act indifferently to him. But I was aware that I was fairly caught up in my own selfish little world where my thoughts and actions were primarily about looking out for me. Well, that was me. Can anyone else relate to that story? As I think about it now, I realize that the awareness of my tendency to disobey, to do my own thing, to not listen to what others were telling me, also became a barrier in my life with God. At a young age, I believed in God. We went to church every Sunday, and I went to Catholic school all the way through eighth grade. But as a young man, and very aware of my tendencies to sin, as my thoughts from time to time turned toward the things of God, rather than hear and think about the message of grace and forgiveness and reconciliation with God through faith in Jesus, I would instead feel my guilt. No one had to tell me that I was a sinner. I knew it. I felt it. And so, because that was my internal experience, when things of God came up in conversation or thought or at church or at school, I tended to shy away from that thinking or hearing more about the things of God because of my guilt. Now, I realize now that during all that time, when I wasn't really looking for God, the Holy Spirit was still looking for me, was still working to woo me and help open my eyes to God's love and grace. The Scripture tells us that God is love and that His love for us is behind the efforts to reach us with His good news. But it took a while for those seeds to land and take root in my heart. But I'm so glad they did. I'm so grateful that eventually I was able to hear and understand the good news about God's forgiveness provided for me through faith in Jesus Christ. Eventually, I was able to hear it and to accept it for myself. So what's your story? How did you come to understand and experience God's promise of forgiveness? I would love to hear your story. We know the Holy Spirit works in all kinds of different ways. As I think generally about my own experience and the question, why do we need forgiveness? I have these thoughts. First of all, we all sin against God and others. Paul says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. To sin means to miss the mark. Think about shooting a bow and arrow at a target. Even when we want to try and hit the target, we so often miss the mark. We fall short. We see that happen in our world every day. All kinds of people missing the mark. We all need forgiveness because we all sin against God and others. We need forgiveness because we also experience guilt. That's one of the things that being created in God's image causes within us. Guilt is a natural byproduct of disobeying or stepping outside of that moral conscience, that moral compass that God has placed within us. We don't want to feel it, and many people try to self-medicate the guilt and pain away by turning to alcohol, drugs, sex, food, pleasure, entertainment, fun. Surely these things will take away or numb my guilt. But ultimately, they don't. They only enslave us. We know something is wrong. We're not at peace with ourselves or with God. And that's the Holy Spirit's ongoing opportunity to reach us, to woo us away from the enemy's lies and toward the truth. John 16:8 says about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness. Remember this, the Spirit is always at work. The question is, will we let the truth take root in our hearts? Jesus taught that the enemy doesn't want the truth to ever take root in our hearts. He is always trying to steal the seed of God's word away. So, if we become aware we need forgiveness, what hope do we have of forgiveness? Well, when I was younger, I didn't think I had much hope of forgiveness from God. I knew I was guilty of disobeying God, my parents, others. I thought the handwriting was on the wall for me, and it didn't look good. Where do those thoughts come from? The scripture tells us they come from the enemy, who's only out to kill and steal and destroy. The biblical worldview that includes an evil power at work in the world to take us and everyone else down rings true in my experience. We don't have to look very far today in our world to see that. And Satan wants to keep us blind, deaf, and deceived. But again, God loves us, and so He sent His Son Jesus into the world to save us from our sins. Remember what Joseph heard from the angel who came to him in a dream. In Matthew 1, 20 and 21, we hear, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will what? Save his people from their sins." I didn't think I had much hope for forgiveness, but from the beginning of Jesus' life, God was planning otherwise. I'm so glad His plan included you and me. Remember when Jesus was in the upper room with His disciples and they were celebrating the Passover meal together? During that meal, He broke bread and He gave it to them saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then He drank the cup of wine and had them drink as well and said in Matthew 26:28, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the what? Forgiveness of sins." Jesus' death on the cross, with His body that was bruised and beaten, with His blood that was poured out, that was shed, His death paid the price of forgiveness for our sins. At a young age, I felt the weight of guilt and didn't think there was any hope for me. But when I understood more fully the story of Jesus and God's plan to save me and you through His life, death, and resurrection, that's when the light came on for me. And the most astounding thing that still blows me away is this: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all at work on my behalf because of deep, profound, and unconditional love for me. And it's the same for you. It was love incarnate that was on that cross for you and me. When I finally understood the full extent of the gospel story and God's love, I couldn't help but realize there was hope for me and my forgiveness. One of the last things that Jesus said to His disciple in Luke's gospel before He ascended says this. This is what is written, Jesus is talking. "The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and what? Forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem." We have every hope of forgiveness because of Jesus. Well, what happens when we receive our forgiveness? Again, everyone has their own story, and I love to hear how it happens for each person who chooses to trust in Jesus. But the bottom line is, we experience new life, new birth, living water, power from on high. In talking about it, remember Jesus said this in John 7:38, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. This living water wells up within us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we realize our new standing with God. We are forgiven. We are cleansed. We are set free from the guilt and shame that our sin and shortcomings had caused within us. Once we understand who Jesus is and what he has done for us, we realize his sacrifice was the perfect one, offered once for all for our sin and salvation. The weight of our guilt and shame falls away, and we experience deep joy and thanksgiving and peace. And the natural result of that is praise. We give God thanks and praise for all that he has done for us in this new relationship we enjoy. Paul writes about it like this in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Our hearts soar because of this new comfort and joy we have from God, and we are motivated to reach out with that same compassion and comfort for those who we know need it. Wow! That certainly is a great promise for times like these. As God helps us, as God comforts us with grace and love, we can reach out to comfort one another. Our world needs more of this perspective and approach to life, this worldview, rather than just looking out for number one, which is increasingly prevalent in our day. Our experience of God's forgiveness and the living water of the Holy Spirit that comes through our faith in Jesus causes us to praise and to glorify God. It also enables us to reach out with forgiveness for one another. If forgiveness from God is so important that Jesus was sent to die on the cross, then extending and sharing forgiveness from one another, extending it, receiving it from each other, is huge as well. In teaching us how to pray in Matthew 6:12, Jesus says, pray in this way, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Our forgiveness of others is to be the response of gratitude and thanksgiving of God forgiving us. C.S. Lewis wrote this, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. No, forgiveness is not always easy. People do hurt and mistrust and mistreat us deeply. And sometimes it takes a long time for us to work through that. But forgiving others is Jesus' expectation for us. And we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us to become the people God wants us to be. Remember this, in Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven and can forgive one another. He is the one who paid the penalty for our sin and shame and set us free. He also has sent us the Holy Spirit so that we have the grace and power to extend forgiveness to others. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and his great gift of forgiveness. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, thank you for the amazing gift of forgiveness of sins. We no longer have to live in guilt or shame. We no longer have to be separated from you or others. We are grateful for Jesus' death on the cross. His love and sacrifice provided our forgiveness and new life. Hallelujah! In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. So in a time of response, I invite you now to share again with me the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, I hope the message has spoken to you. Remember, through faith in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, and you have the power to forgive others. If you'd like to visit more about the message or how you can experience this new life with God through faith in Jesus, please contact me. If you've joined us today and have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app or go to the website. You know, giving back is one of the most tangible ways that we thank God for His goodness toward us. You can use text to give, the app. You can go to the website or mail in contributions. And thank you. Thank you so much for your generosity, even during these summer months. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember, your gift of forgiveness was won at a tremendously high cost. For now, continue to praise and thank Jesus and live out what it means to believe in the forgiveness of sin.
I started an online store that only sells big shoes.
Big shoes?
Yeah.
Cool.
Let me tell you, it was no small feat.
Brittany keeps us on our toes. Our youth group will start its after school program on September 8th. After school until 8 p.m., we'll offer a homework room, Bible study, snacks, band practice, small groups, and youth worship. Have questions? Contact Ethan.
This fall, we're launching another Journey Group for Men. Journey Group is an impactful discipleship experience. Phil Birch and Jim Lynn will co-lead the Journey Group every other Monday night at 6:30 p.m. beginning August 30th. Contact Phil Birch or Jim Lynn or any Journey grad for more information.
September 1st, we are thrilled to have State Superintendent Joy Hoffmeister, Lanier Principal Angie Team, and Missionary Chad Anderson with us. T-Town Tacos will be available from 5:30 p.m. for $3 while supplies last. Bring supplies for Lanier, pray for our children, and participate in the blessing of the backpacks.
You can find all this information on our website, cumctulsa.com.